in the homeland of the Métis people. We express our respect to the First Nations and Métis brothers and sisters for this place, and we reaffirm our relationship with one another. So let me pray as I begin sharing this morning. Creator God, we are grateful for the gift of this land and of the city. Thank you for revealing yourself to us in Jesus, who is God with us. Thank you for teaching us and modeling and inviting us to walk in this good way with you. So would you open our eyes and our hearts and our spirit this morning to receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen. So my name is Rachel, and I am Malaysian Chinese, born and raised in Malaysia. I'm bicultural, and I've lived in Canada for 11 years, and it's still counting. I'm adept at navigating cross-culturally. I pick up languages pretty easily. I have a deep love for horses. I have a redeemed posture for the great outdoors. I love the mountains, the oceans, the vast prairie skies, and yes, I even love the winters here. I love food to a point that when I'm having a meal, for example, like breakfast this morning, I've already planned all of my meals from today up until February. That's how much I love food. I became a follower of Jesus when I was 12. I left my family, my land, and my people, and I chose to lay down my life to see university students become followers of Jesus in the fullness of their ethnic identity. I work with InterVarsity at the U of S, so some of you may be wondering, now Rachel, what does that mean? What does it mean to work for InterVarsity? I don't really know how to capture it in a sentence, so here it goes. Working for InterVarsity means I navigate day-to-day life with cool, hip, young, smart university students. Some of them are present here today. I feed these students either by cooking for them or I take them out to eat at really good restaurants around the city. I buy for them, sometimes I make them endless cups of coffee or tea. I shamelessly invite myself into their homes. I make myself at home at their house. I get them to feed me sometimes. I borrow their stuff like their cars. I go on road trips with them. Some of the road trips involve being in the province. Some of the road trips involve another province. And some road trips involve us taking planes and buses and cabs, walking in a different culture, in a different country, in a different continent. I befriend their parents, warming my way into their hearts, and soon enough, I get adopted into their family and get endless supplies of farmer sausage and pierogies. I ask these students about their life stories, where they come from, what shaped their worldview. I listen to them as they share their stories, their struggles, their joys, their hopes and their dreams, the challenges that they face in life, the failures that they have. I cry with them, sometimes I cry at them, sometimes I laugh with them, they make me cry, I make them cry. I cheer them on in their milestones like their graduation, or when they have overcome failures in their life. I hold them tight when grief and pain threaten to overwhelm them. And together I walk with them as we discover what it means to be followers of Jesus. I am a friend. I'm a mentor. I'm a staff worker. I'm a sister. Sometimes I'm a mom. I'm a roommate. I'm a companion. I'm a fellow partner. And sometimes I'm that staff who keeps pestering them to say yes to every single invitation that I extend to them. So while my deep love for freshly ground coffee made in my Chemex every morning propels me out of bed because that's the only thing that will get me out in the deep winters, I love being a staff worker because I know that the thing that I do on campus every day matters beyond fresh coffee. This morning, I get the opportunity to share with you a little bit about the ministry on campus, and it will be snippets of stories from the lives of some of my students, the ways that they have found community and family within the InterVarsity community on campus, and the journeys that I've been with them. This sharing will be a little bit more Asian style. So that means I'm going to use a lot of stories to illustrate the theme for today. So I invite you to receive these stories as gifts. When I was growing up in a Malaysian Chinese community, gift giving is huge. And so when I thought about sharing this morning, I thought, oh, I can't come to church like empty-handed. So, you know, what can I offer? And so I'm offering you these stories. And my prayer is that these stories will be good gifts that encourage you to move forward. The sharing this morning is also an invitation to partnership. Since you see faces of students that flash up on the PowerPoint this morning, I invite you to pray for them. These are students who are faithfully walking the good road of what it means to be a follower of Jesus on campus. So I invite you to join with me as we pray for them. This morning, I want to share with you about family, community, and belonging. Now, we all yearn to belong, right? To a family, to a community, to a certain group, to fill in the blank. It could be anything. We all yearn to belong. And I believe there's a desire to belong because we were created in the image of a divine creator. And at the core of that being is communal. So Creator God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are Trinity, three in one. And they exist together. In Genesis 1, verses 26 to 27. So here's the thing. When I teach with university students, it's a full participation, not just me teaching my students. So can someone read Genesis 1, verses 26 to 27 in a loud voice? Genesis 1, verses 26 to 27. Who has that? Ready to go. Thank you very much. The verse begins with Creator God saying, let us create, let us make humankind in our image and in our likeness, right? So it's the usage of the word us and our. And so we, when we were being created by this creator who exists in community, that means we become bearers of that same identity and characteristic of our creator. And so our desire to belong is good. For it's given by God. This is my family, my dad and my mom, my brother and my sister, and none of us look alike. We have different interests, different expressions of personalities, and of likes and dislikes. Yet there's one thing that marks us as the Lau family, our deep love for food. We eat the food, we talk about the food, we analyze the food, we cook the food, we eat the food. We would drive to a different city and a different state just to eat that best bowl of noodles. My parents have driven 3 hours just to eat good food, one way. Family vacation consists of only going to places that have an abundance of food, and we rise early so that we can maximize our eating hours. I'm going home in February. Guess what is on my itinerary? I arrive at 1 a.m. That's when we'll start eating. I belong to this family, but we don't live anywhere close to each other. So my whole family lives in Malaysia, and that's about 10,000 kilometers away from Saskatoon. The cost of being in ministry for the sake of the gospel means that I leave my family behind. But the thing that I ground my hope and confidence in is taken from Mark chapter 10. So this is Peter. Peter said to Jesus, we have left everything to follow you. And when I said yes to moving and living in Saskatoon, I said the exact same thing to Jesus. I have left everything to follow you. And Jesus' response to Peter's statement is this. Truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, along with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. And that's a promise that I hold on to. And the beautiful thing about this is that from the day that I moved to Saskatoon, Westside has become home to me. True to Jesus' promise, even though my family lived far away from home, I have a lot of people to call family. Some friends, they live in a different part of the world. Some live in the same country. Some live in the same city as me. Some even live in the same roof as I am. Some are younger than me. Some are older. Some are peers. Some take on the role of parents. Some take on the role of grandparents. Some are from the same cultural background as I am, yet many others are from other cultural and ethnic backgrounds. And my version of family keeps growing and expanding as I continue to say yes to Jesus. Being a part of InterVarsity is being a part of a multi-ethnic and diverse community on campus. So whether it's on campus or at camp, students are discovering family, community, and belonging. I want to show you a quick video that's from InterVarsity. I've watched that video quite a few times, and it's really cool to watch it because I know like about half of those people. Most of them are staff or they work at camps around this country. Some of them are actually on campus. Words like family, love, being intentional, being remembered, belonging, meeting Jesus and being transformed is being repeated in the video. And within a community, so whether it's on camp or campus, young people are discovering Jesus. And they're being transformed and are living lives that are reflecting the kingdom of Jesus. I was once that young student. And without my InterVarsity community, I don't think my faith would be this vibrant today. Being a university student can be lonely. It is scary enough to leave home and everything that is known for the unknown. For many students, they say goodbye to their families and face university by themselves. Some leave families and cultures and peoples and land far away. Some may not have to travel as far, yet all leave things that are familiar behind. And what they're looking for is community and connection and belonging. And the question that they have is there a place that I can belong that will accept me for who I am? This is Ben. Ben is one of my students. Ben moved from Calgary to Saskatoon a few years ago. Ben was looking for community on campus, and he came to a couple of our events and finally decided to stick around with us. And I'll let you on a secret because he's not here. He said yes to InterVarsity because there was homemade bread, and that was the thing that sold him to our community. So I've been feeding him ever since then. Ben has and continues to be an important part of our community, for he has found belonging with us, and he is extending belonging and community to others. Ben loves to hike, and he has very many stories of hiking adventures. And he consistently invites friends to go on adventures with him. Ben took one of the biggest risks a few years ago when he chose to go on a camp partnership with me and a bunch of his friends. That was one of my favorite adventures with him, and I have deep respect for him. He is generous, his parents are generous, and I've been overwhelmed by their generosity. Ben has also taught me a lot about life, about the German culture, and in particular, about the German food. There's a theme with InterVarsity, we eat. This is Kira, and this is her good friend Lisa. Now, 5 years ago, Lisa and Kira came to InterVarsity together, and they came to check us out. And they kept coming back because they didn't fully believe that we were genuine and sincere as a community in terms of our expression of love. So they kept coming back and coming back and coming back. And then eventually they figured out that it's true, that we weren't just faking it. Kira and Lisa both came to my Bible study. Kira found it frustrating because I wouldn't give her the answers to her questions when we studied the Bible. But she pretty quickly discovered Jesus in Scripture. She kept asking her questions. She kept seeking for the answers. And she would apply the things that Jesus was showing her in Scripture into her life. She went on multiple adventures with me in her 5 years of being a student. She came to East Asia with me. She came to camp with me. She always said yes to every single invitation that I would extend to her. She started a community house that is a home for students to come and eat and find home, and has made some radical lifestyle choices as she learns what it means to live rightly on this land as a follower of Jesus. For Kira, she found community, healing, and Jesus. She believes that the kingdom Jesus brings is accessible to everyone from all cultural and ethnic backgrounds, and gives her life to see the kingdom of Jesus be revealed to university students. She has now graduated from the U of S, and I get the privilege of calling her my colleague. My student is now my staff partner. So that's a pretty exciting news for me. This is Victorian. Victorian's from Nigeria. Victorian loves Jesus and loves to worship. She found community with InterVarsity on campus when she was invited by a friend to come check us out at an event because a friend said to her that this community is multi-ethnic. She did not believe that a multi-ethnic community can exist, so she came to see it for herself. She soon was leading our worship nights, teaching us to worship God in spirit and in truth. When she's not feeding me jollof rice or egusi or pepper soup, she's teaching me about Nigerian culture and opens my eyes to see Jesus and his kingdom from a Nigerian perspective. We are fellow companions together as we navigate the question of how do you follow Jesus as a Nigerian and as a Malaysian woman living in Canada? Because of Victoria, I'm a better cross-cultural navigator. A picture of what a Jesus-centered community looks like is beautifully described in Acts 2. So I'm going to get someone to just read this out loud for me. Great. Can someone else read this one, please? Thank you. And one final person to read this one. Thank you. So this comes at the tail end of Peter's big sermon that he preached to a group of people who gathered on the day of Pentecost, right? And so people were repenting, were getting baptized, and God was adding to their number. And this is the picture that Luke painted in the book of Acts of what the early community looked like, right? They committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal, and the prayers, right? People were in awe of what is happening. The community sold whatever they had so that those who were in need, their needs were met. Right, people were gathering and worshiping. They were eating together. They were celebrating and praising God. And God added to their numbers daily. That's a very beautiful picture of community. A few years ago, my leaders team and I, we studied the book of Acts. And this was a very significant passage for us because as we read this, we begin to realize that as followers of Jesus, this kind of community can still exist today. It is not a picture of community that's obsolete, that's from long ago. It still can exist today. And so we did this crazy thing. We, being part of InterVarsity, we place a high emphasis on scripture study and particularly on application. So we turn around, we say to our student leaders, let's apply this, okay? We read scripture, we're gonna apply it. Let's become this community. And so things would happen. We would share meals together. At that point in time, I lived in this house that could host 9 of us. There was 9 of us living in this house. It was a really old, rundown house. We paid too much for utilities, but our house was constantly freezing. Sometimes we would share meals around the table so we could all fit around the table. Sometimes not so intimately because there was once over 100 people came to our house. Somebody came up to me and said, I had to wait 10 minutes to get through your front door. You know, I would go downstairs and there would be a few people sitting on my washing machine with their plate full of food, you know, and I need to use the washroom and I have to chase out 5 people. Excuse me, I just need to use the washroom. Thank you. This was like over 100 students showed up. We would pray together. We fasted together. We studied scripture together. We did life together. In that year, I shared a room with another student, so I had zero privacy. But yet, the thing that amazed me from that year was God showed up. And God added to our numbers. students started saying yes to becoming followers of Jesus. Baptisms in a horse feeding trough happened in my living room. Spiritual and physical illnesses were healed. Student leaders would gather their monies together to help other students get needs met, right? So those who needed groceries, they got groceries. I even had a student leader who paid for another student's tuition so that he could go to school. Students were giving, and as they gave, God consistently met up and showed up. And my prayer is that the InterVarsity community at the U of S would continue to be this community, and that us here at Westside would also be like this community. The discovering of Jesus happens within community, and for us at InterVarsity, Scripture forms the bedrock of our faith journey with Jesus. We believe that Scripture is alive and active and has power to transform lives. Many of my personal transformation experiences have been a result of Scripture study and applying that into my life. Now, this past semester, I had the privilege of co-leading and partnering with a student of mine named Sarah in leading a small group. It's a pretty interesting small group. We started off saying we wanted to lead a small group for first-year students. So we had a few first-year students, and then my roommate joined us as well. And it was predominantly, I would say, like a homogenous white Canadian setting with a smattering few, like my roommate, myself, and some other person. And we decided to study the Sermon on the Mount. So Matthew 5, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit, ... Right? We can all say it. So we decided, all right, 12 weeks of school, Sermon on the Mount, 3 chapters. We can do this. 12 weeks of school, we covered 12 verses, which averages about a verse a week in our Bible study. Because what started happening was that as we read Scripture, Jesus showed up. And so as we read, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, students started asking the question of, hold up. You know, I'm a Christian. I say bless you. God bless you. But what does bless mean in this context? Right? Poor in spirit. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? What does it look like? Right? What is the kingdom of God? Why do those who are poor in spirit get the kingdom of God? So imagine the conversation going on and on, right? And you start to see students' worldview change and transform to a point that midway through the semester, a first-year student said, hold up, are you saying that Jesus is bringing a whole new system? So what about our current system? Oh my gosh, this changes everything. And so then space is being made as students begin to wrestle, what does this kingdom that Jesus is bringing, how is that so different from the kingdoms and the systems that currently exist, right? So we can't really move forward because students are encountering Jesus in profound ways, right? My roommate and I would always have all these discussions over meal, right? And I was preparing for another manuscript study with my leaders yesterday, and we were trying to cover 21 chapters in 3 hours, but my roommate and I got stuck just asking questions on one verse, right? Oh my gosh, like we need to unpack this. And so Scripture transformed our small group. It transformed Sarah's life, it transformed my life, it transformed Eve's life, right? We're all part of this small group. It transformed a lot of my students, actually, whether they are part of the same small group or not, because they encounter Jesus in Scripture. And so in community, as we study Scripture, Jesus shows up, and that's a very beautiful thing. And that's the thing that I'm most excited for when I do my job. I want to end kind of my time of sharing about the ministry with one final story. And I ask that this particular story not be circulated because these friends of mine work in a restricted area. Okay? So here's Nicole. This is Carolyn. This is Amy. And this is their leader, Trisha. So I know the first three over here, Nicole, Carolyn, and Amy. Nicole and Amy were my juniors at my university. So I went to school, I graduated, I moved to Saskatoon. They were still part of InterVarsity. And I had the opportunity to take these three on a global partnership to East Asia. I barely knew them, but I spent 2 months with each one of them as we navigated cross-culturally, as they begin to wrestle, what does God want for my life? What's my purpose in life? And I never thought that any one of them would move. But I started getting emails from them after graduation saying that they decided to move to East Asia because they encountered Jesus there. So one by one, started moving to East Asia. And now they are serving there. And for them, in this particular site, they're seeing Chinese students saying yes to Jesus on a regular basis. Their community is like the community in Acts 2 that we read. And it's incredible to watch how their experience of InterVarsity on their own campuses is now being reflected in East Asia. I got this picture from Carolyn a couple of weeks ago, and I just want to read what she wrote at the back. Here's the site team photo from the semester. We were just about to start a prayer vigil on the bread of life. I saw how cute the bread pans were that Trisha brought as props, so we took this team photo that also welcomes Amy as our newest teammate. Wow, the three out of four of us, had dealings with you in our journey to China. Love, Carolyn. She barely spoke a word to me when she was a student. She was one of the quietest students on my global partnership. But I've seen how she has just given herself and her life to Jesus in China. They've all been there for a few years now. And consistently, I would get emails from them about how Jesus is showing up in their community there. As they receive community with InterVarsity on their campus here in Canada, they extend that to the people in China. And that's a very beautiful gift. It's not just university students who are looking for community, for family, and belonging. Many others are too, and here at Westside, we are increasingly growing in our diversity. We have a thriving community center. People are yearning for community. Westside, we get to be that community to one another and to all of those people who come through our community center's door. Our mission is to know Christ and be his hands extended. When I first came to Westside 8 years ago, I didn't have time to sit down because I got taken. And it's like, here is so-and-so. You should meet so-and-so. You should meet so-and-so. And as I went around being introduced to all these different people would start writing their phone numbers down. You know, like, oh, call us if you need a ride. Call us if you need this. Call us if you need food. Call us if you need this. So I went home with all collection of all these phone numbers, and realizing that, oh my gosh, like, I'm overwhelmed by, like, this community in a good way. My first year here 8 years ago, I had 8 turkey invitations on one Thanksgiving weekend, and I had to turn out most of them because you can't go to 8 in 3 days. I guess you could, but I felt sad saying no to very many of them. Part of my job at InterVarsity is I fundraise, and so when I started working for InterVarsity, there's a lot of people from this church who supported me and still supporting me. And I know that I stand here, the stories that I have shared today is a result of good partnership with very many of you. And for that, I am so grateful for your generosity. And so as we welcome more and more new faces to our church and to our community center and into our lives here at Westside, may we continue to be Christ's hands extended. My hope and prayer is that these people experience community and belonging like I did. We're at the start of a new year, right? We make new resolutions. Like, every year I was like, I will, you know, eat less, but I still eat more. We make resolutions of all kinds. And so my prayer is that we as a Westside community, as a Westside family, our New Year's commitment is that we will be home and community to the people around us, right? Perhaps there are people that we sit to in church every Sunday, but we don't really know them. It's a great Sunday to turn around and say, hi, my name is fill in blank, and you are? Come over for a meal. It's a great way for us. And I made a commitment this morning. I was like, Jesus, how am I going to respond even to my own sharing? That I actually have not been to the community center. And so my own commitment is that I will go, right, on a Saturday, right, to welcome people who walk through those doors, who for quite a lot of them may be new to Canada, may not have home or family, and we get to be that, right? we get to model that Acts 2 community to these people. So this morning, extend a hand. Say hi. Receive a hug if that's part of your culture. Ask about their story. What brought them to Westside? Give your time. Give yourself. Let us be Christ's hands extended by being a community that many people can call home. And so even as I call InterVarsity my home, that those students and students who are not present here are my students and they're my home, you guys are my home because my family lives so far away. And if it wasn't for Westside and the ways that you welcomed me when I first moved here 8 years ago, I don't think I would be standing here this morning. And so in a way, community, family, and belonging is at the core of our being. And if we choose and press in as a church this year to be that, as we commit ourselves to Sunday's worship, to being family with one another, to prayer, to breaking bread, to having meals, and to sharing the resources, I believe, because I've experienced it in my own InterVarsity community, that God will add to our numbers. I'm going to invite Pastor Kim to come up.